It's a great recording.
Okay, as we begin the limud of Maseches Chulin, I am well aware of the fact that probably most of you have never really learned most of these sugyas in shi'ur before. Whenever you start any masechta, so there's always a little bit of introduction, a little bit of, you know, terms that get thrown around that you're not necessarily familiar with. So Kal v'chayim, Minoshe Kal v'chayim, we begin the seventh parak of Maseches Chulin right smack into the heart and soul of calling the yeshivas in your day, and tarayvus, b'schol, those kinds of sugyas. So inevitably, there's going to be a lot of introductions going to happen. So if anybody felt during Seder today that they totally understood all the klala and everything, so then you're totally faking yourselves out, all right? So hopefully, Beit Hashem, we're going to try to elaborate. Don't think we're going to get everything right away. A lot of guys asked me questions in the middle of Seder this morning. I said, yeah, we'll talk about it. I said that for two reasons. Number one, because I can have a voice, I couldn't answer them. And number two, because we will talk about it. So we will, Beit Hashem, talk about it as the sugyas go on. But again, we're going to begin, you know, with some basic, just a basic elementary yesodos. But right away, within very, very quickly, we're going to get right into the heart and soul of a beautiful, beautiful limud. So again, it's a little bit of a different limud. It's not exactly what most of you are probably used to in terms of, you know, the standard kedushin of a kavamitsi and that kind of stuff. But it's like a lot of lumdus, a lot of heavy, heavy duty lumdus in it also. And Amir Tashem, we're going to try to tackle that. They say in the name of Reb Chaim that Reb Chaim turned your day out of pots and pans and silverware into a world of hardcore lumdus. So that's what we're going to try to do also. Try to extract all the lumdus and all the shaylas and all the, a lot of lamais. Obviously, we're going to have a lot more lamais than we had last year in Bava Kama. So we'll have, hopefully, mention about a lot of fun. So we begin with a Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Vamami Beis. We have the first one, the Mishnah is not Yayin. Got interested in my Mekremis, but it's Yerach. So sorry about that. Okay. So, Mechila. So the Mishnah begins with Yerach Shiraz Basha Bagina Nosha, Im Yesh Babin Nesita Merezo Asura. Very seemingly straightforward, simple situation where a person just happens to be cooking a Yerach of an animal, a big thigh, a big leg of an animal. And the person made a very small mistake. He forgot to take out the Gidanosha. That's a pretty serious mistake because he's not allowed to eat the Gidanosha. And now, lo and behold, he comes to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, what do? I have this Yerach that I cooked my Gidanosha in it. What do I do now? That's how the Mishnah begins. So we have to take about 20 steps back to even begin to appreciate and understand what we're even talking about, what exactly is the dilemma, and how this ultimately serves as such a beautiful way to start off our discussion of these all of these sugyas. So it's Yadua Mufursam. It is obvious to everybody, anyone ever learned a couple of Sulman Chumash, that there is a whole parsha in Halacha called Machalos Asuras. There are a whole bunch of different things that the Torah says you're not allowed to eat, spanning from the Velas, to Chazir, to Trefis, to Gidanosha, to Chelef, to Dam. You want to get a little, you know, fancier, to Pigul, Nosa. I mean, there's just a long list of don'ts in terms of Machalos Asuras. And when we think about Machalos Asuras, we think about food that's not kosher to eat. So the image that we conjure up in our mind is, let's say, for example, let's take an easy one. Let's eat chazir, right? It's easy not to get open, but it's easy to get. Okay. So let's start with a chazir. All right, Torah says you're not allowed to eat chazir. Everyone agrees to that? Plus, I can't eat pig, all right? So what do you think a pig is? If I'd ask you before you learned Gidanosha, before you learned Maseches Chulin, what would you conjure up the image when the Torah says, lo sochlu chazir? I would think, chazir means... What does a pig do? That's pretty much what a chazir is, okay? Alright, now we need to get a little bit more creative. The Torah says, don't eat Gid HaNosha, right? One of the other machalos, don't eat Gid HaNosha. So this nerve part of the animal, we don't really know what it is. No, guys, we're looking at the Chulun books, I have no idea what it is. We're not going to define Gid HaNosha the entire year, we're just going to call it the Gid HaNosha. So we have this part of the animal's leg. The Torah says, okay, we're going to call it Gid HaNosha. What do you think that is? So anyone who's ever shechted and seen a shechita, something like this, whatever, long nerve, some gear, I don't know, some kind of a sinew, whatever you want to call it, a nerve. That's what a gear nosha. So we have an idea that when the Torah speaks about not eating chafotzim of Isser, so the Torah is speaking about this particular item, this particular object. All of a sudden, we have a new halacha out there. And the new halacha tells us that what if I take a davar osur, whether it's a piece of chazer, I take a davar osur, it's a gid and osha, or I don't know, let's take, I take a little bit of a chaylev, all right? And I throw it into a mixture. Okay, we're going to use the first important term, a tarayves, into a mixture. And some of the tam, another important term, some of the tam, some of the taste of this davar osur begins to seep into the mixture. And now I'm able to remove the item itself. So I have the chazer's out of there. I took the chazer, I fished the chazer out, the chazer's not there anymore. I fished to get a nosh out, it's not there anymore. I fished the chazer, it's not there anymore. But what do I have remaining? I have a little bit of tam that's in this ta'arovis. Is that a problem, or is that not a problem? So the Torah says, don't eat chazer. One could have argued that don't eat chazer means don't eat a cheftza from chazer. It was about 10 minutes that we said that. Don't eat a cheftza, don't eat an item, don't eat the entity of a piece of chazer. If all I have is a little bit of taste of chazer, maybe that's not a cheftza of chazer. Or maybe no. Maybe the halacha is that just as I'm not allowed to eat the chazer itself, I'm not allowed to eat anything that tastes like chazer. So even though right now I'm eating chulent, but since the chulent has some chazer taste in it, that is also problematic. So that's exactly what the Mishnah is talking about. That's how the Mishnah begins by telling us, I have a yerush and his bashel bagid. So I took the piece of the animal, I took the big leg of the animal, and I cooked it up with a little bit of gidanosha, a big piece of gidanosha in it, and now I'm going to remove the gidanosha. No one's going to eat the gidanosha. It's a pasuk on chokish. So I'm not going to eat the gidanosha, but I want to know, Rabbi, can I eat the yerech? So what does the Mishnah say? So the Mishnah says, yerech shesbash gidanosha, im yesh lemenesh dam harei asura. If there is a taste of gidanosha in the yerech of the behema, in the leg of the animal, so now that leg of the animal is no longer permitted to be eaten. That is the basic principle the Mishnah describes, called Nesen Tam. Even though I don't have a be'en, I don't have mamashis, I don't have the animal, I don't have the gidanosh itself in front of me, that was removed. I don't have the chaz in front of me, I don't have the nevel in front of me, I don't have the kreif in front of me, but I have a tam of the davar osur. That in and of itself poses a problem. That's what the Mishnah records for us. Where did this din come from? How did the Mishnah know this? All of a sudden, Tarivav of Beis and Baruch Abu, here we are. That there's an issue of Tam, Gidanosha. How in the world do we know this? So this is a major, major sugya. Hopefully we're going to talk about it a lot, many, many times, a little bit down the line, hanging there for us. This is a Machlekes in the Gemara, Machlekes in the Rishon, Machlekes in the Shulchan. This is what's called Tam Ki Ikar. So according to many, many opinions, Tam Ki Ikar is actually a Din Min HaTorah. It's derived from a series of psukim, and we're going to talk about what those possible psukim, where the source of this potential din derais is. And there is another opinion of Rishon that maintains that Tam Ki Ikar may only be midrabanan, or at least in the certain circumstances be midrabanan. Again, we're going to talk a lot about that as we go on. So everybody agrees that the halacha stands the way it is. The Mishnah presents a din that's agreed upon muskum by everybody, that harayz have been nice in time, that it is not sufficient to take the attitude in observant Judaism and say, well, I don't see chazer, therefore I'm okay. No, sorry. If you taste it, then you have a problem. Whether or not that problem is a deraisadik problem, or whether perhaps that's only a derabonadik problem, that's subject to a debate. That's a big machlokes. Again, we have sugyas and sugyas and sugyas to talk about that nekuda, why that should not be so. But the Mishnah is just recording what the din is, not commenting yet whether it's a din derais or din derabanan. So I raised the b'nais in tam. So I just have a very, very technical question to ask you. I raised the b'nais in tam. We give the example of gidanosha. We could have easily given an example of other things, which the Mishnah actually speaks a little bit later about nevelis and daktame and things like that. So the din is the same by everything. All makos asuros. What's my practical problem with this halacha? It's a huge, huge problem. I have a very, very big practical problem. What's the big practical problem? How am I going to test this? How am I ever going to know whether it's nesen tam or not? Because if the only way to know is to taste it, and if I taste it and it turns out that there was nesen tam, then I just violated according to many in nesen derais, according to others in nesen derabanan. So how in the world am I ever going to know? It's a moot point to raise a nesen tam. So what's the obvious answer to this question? Oh, for the chor, you have to ask a goy. I can't ask a Jew to taste me. You have to ask a goy to taste me, which in and of itself poses a whole other problem. What's the whole other problem? What? Not so much das, but I'm honest. How am I going to trust him? Generally, a non-Jew tells me something in halacha that is very, very limited reliability. So that opens up a whole other sugya. So far we've already alluded to 2, 3, 4 different sugyas we're going to learn in the next couple of weeks. All right? So we know this is a nice and tam. We have no idea is it there, is it there, abundant. We know that the only way to test nice and tam is to have somebody actually taste it. And we know that a Jew is ineligible to taste it. So we must call upon a goy to taste it. By doing so, we're opening up a whole new problem of what nemanis does a goy possibly have. So these are all things that we're going to open mention tackle as we go on. So comes the Gemara a little bit later on in another sugya, we're heading up to the fifth sugya. So comes the Gemara a little bit later on and says, wait a second, very often you have a situation where there's no goy around. You're always going to rely, all of consciousness is going to rely on goyim. I mean, we know that, depends where you are, let's say, if you live in Washington Heights, okay, so you have a shayla, you know, you cook to get a nosh and a piece of meat, you're not sure what to do, so you call the wife security guard and ask him to taste it. That's Baal. Sometimes, I know, let's say you're in Beit Meir in the summer, you can't find a non-Jew around. You're in a new square, you can't find a non-Jew around. You know, you're, I don't know, where else? Can you go to a good place? A good place. What? What? Nobody, you're in the desert, okay, you and Gilligan, you're on the desert island, you can't figure out. The skipper, nobody knows how to taste, right? So you try to figure out, what am I going to do? So there's got to be a better system. So just to say I raise a bit of Tintam and live our lives relying on Goyim, not such a good idea. So there's got to be another way of figuring this out. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says that there's an alternate way than doing a physical test. It's almost more of a scientific test. What would you do? Those who are, who do we have any chemistry majors here? Anyone here not inside Sims? Okay. All right. So who's going to answer this question, right? How would you even dream of figuring out if there's no Tintam or not? You could probably come up with some kind of a what? Some kind of a shear, some kind of a ratio. I mean, everyone would agree that, let's say I have a tiny, tiny drop of chalev, let's say, fell into my tremendous, tremendous, tremendous pot of food. It's highly unlikely that, what? That I'm going to have an Asinus Tam there. Now, if I play around with the numbers a little bit, I say, well, let's put a little bit more chalev in. We'll test a little bit. We'll go to the lab. This is Taramad. Then we'll do a little bit after 3 o'clock. So we'll throw a little more chalev in, put a little bit less cholent in, and we'll measure. And after enough time, we'll probably come up with some kind of a working number that's not going to be an ironclad proof, but it's probably going to be pretty reasonable that if I have this ratio, I most likely don't have a tam there. And we're probably going to reach the point where we're comfortable enough to actually let you rely on this enough FDA testing and enough double testing and triple testing and quadruple testing. Eventually, we're going to come up with a shear that we're comfortable with. And Chazal actually did that. And what was the magic shear that Chazal came up with? It's a machlokes. Okay? So we paskin halach, and again, this is going to be a whole nother sugya, that the shear that we're going to work with for most of the time, not all the time, but the shear we're going to work with is what's called bitulah. Bittul b'shishim. I mean, if you have 60 times of kosher to the little drop of treifas, whether that treifas is chaylev, is neveila, whatever the case may be, if you have 60 times, so you have bittul b'shishim, when you have bittul b'shishim, you probably no longer have neisim tam. It may not be an absolute statement, and we're going to see there may be some things that may trump this equation, but this is the pretty much the equation we're going to work with, and that's the Gemara a little bit later on, the seventh paragraph of Chulin, okay? So again, let's just backtrack for a second. Most of what we're going to be dealing with, we're not dealing with, Rabbi, can I eat a piece of chalev? Rabbi, can I eat a get a nosha? That's not the discussion. Rabbi, can I eat some food that was cooked together with some chalev? Rabbi, can I eat some food that was cooked together with Gidon Osha? So the real question we're asking is there nice in time or not? Is that a deraisa question, a derabbanan question? Questionable. How are we going to figure that out? Ask a goy. How are we going to rely on the goy? Questionable. What are we going to do when we can't find the goy? Come up with the shear. What shear are we going to come up with? Razzle dazzle, magic number is bitul b'shishim, okay? So hopefully some things are clear as of now. This is like not even the ABCs. We haven't even opened up the first line of anything, yeah. This mission is obviously assuming that Ian McGee... Hold on. So we bring Usher Becker in from the Blue Shoes, and he is going to try to derail this entire train. Now, if the 96 bottom of Sechet Chulin the Tanoim are finally ready. Rebbe Dinas is all rearing, ready to go, to introduce to us this principle of Noshim Tam. We learned all of Shechita, we learned all of Treifa, we learned the fourth parak in Kisi Adam, and we learned the fifth, seventh, no, in Kisi Adam. We have 96 blot into it, Dafyomi, that's only a couple of months, but if you learn it slowly, it could take you 10 years. We're up with Avtzadiva, we're all ready to go and waiting to be introduced to the concept of Noshim Tam. So if I was writing a Mishnah, and I wanted to give you an example of Noshim Tam, I would never, ever have started off with Gidon Osha. That would have been the absolute bottom of the bottom, the last possible chance. You know why? Because it just happens to be that there's a machlekes HaTanoim whether a Gidon Osha even emits Tam in the first place. Gidon Osha is radically different from all other Yisurim in the Torah. We're not even sure that Gidon Osha gives off any taste. A piece of Nevela, we know, come on, that gives us, just come on, give me a good piece of Nevela. Come on, give me a good example. Come on, who's got a good example of good Kishmaka piece of Nevela? What?
Roadkill.
What? Forehead. Is it still around?
Yeah.
Okay. Forehead. That was always our example from Dairus. Okay? You have a good piece of board, the veil, chazir. Those are geschmack. Those are things that chaylev, that stuff that tastes. Kidanosha. You ever tasted kidanosha recently? It's not too tasty. At least that's what the experts tell us. It doesn't have that much taste to it. And the Gemara actually asked the Machlekes HaTanoim whether Yesh Begidin Benoishin Tam or Ein Begidin Tam. That's sugya number 7 for us, okay? So not necessarily in order. So what happens to be, thanks to Osher, I'm going to have to spill the beans on this one, that we happen to paskin that Ein Begidin Benoishin Tam. And therefore, next time you cook your thigh of an animal with your Gidin Osher in it, you could just take the Gidin Osher out and do what? And eat the remaining food, because there never was any Nesina Stam. So guess what? It's just a terrible feeling, but we don't possibly like this Mishnah. Because this Mishnah is following that one opinion that Yesh Pegidim and Nesina Stam, which we happen to reject. But don't feel too bad, because everything that we're going to be discussing from here on in, although the Mishnah is talking about Gidon Osher, we're going to use the word Gidon Osher, because that's what the Mishnah uses. Substitute Gidon Osher for Chela, for Nevela, for Treifas, for Chazir, but you name it. All the dinim that the Mishnah is discussing, all the klolim of Nesin Tam and Tam Kikur and Bitul B'Shishim and everything else we're going to talk about, in our world, La Halacha, Taka may not apply to Gidon Osher, but it does apply to Chazer, it does apply to Chelev, it does apply to Bas V'Cholav. We're going to talk about that as we go on. So, why Rabbi Danossi chose Dafka to present the din of Tam Kikur in this case, which is not even La Halacha, that's a good question, but that's not the question we're going to be dealing with right now. Okay? So everybody say back to our story. Okay, so we got pretty much the intro down pat. We know what Noshim Tam is a little bit. We understand a bit where Shishim comes from. And great, wonderful, good validating. But they say, when you have a Taroivis, you have a mixture. So there are two parts of a mixture. There's the Davar Osir, and there's the Davar Mutar. And what I'm going to say may sound, I'm not sure, foolish or just so superfluous, that everyone's going to say, why did the rabbi just say this? But when I have a taravis, if a davar also a davar mutar, how do I do the math of shishim? What do I have to add up? Obviously. Come on. I have to add up all the davar also. Okay, whatever that is, it's 3 ounces of davar also. I have to add up all the davar mutar, and then I have to make the ratio and figure out, do I have bitul shishim? Do I not have bitul shishim, right? That sounds like so silly. Like, you have to first cheshbon, I have to reckon what the iser is, reckon what the heter is, and call it a day, right? And then do the math, 1 to 60 or not. It is that nekuda, it is that point that seems so obvious, that now becomes the source of our entire sugya, and starts off the lumdus rolling in our sugya in the Tzadi Baba base. The Mishnah begins again, Bayarashas Basha Begidon Osher, and Yeshba B'nei Siddam Hu'ezu Asura. Can somebody just translate to me exactly this Mishnah, precisely what the Mishnah says? Okay, I'll translate it. If you have a yerech, you have a leg of an animal that was cooked with it, a Gidon Osher. If you have, what was that word? Im yesh what? Babin eisin tam or eisin vasura. So what's the ratio here? Again, this is assuming yesh begidim in eisin tam. So what's the ratio? You're trying to figure out exactly how big this Gidon Osher is, how much volume this Gidon Osher took up. And then you're trying to figure out exactly how big the whole foot is, all right? How big the yerech is, because this is the davar mutar, and this is the davar asur, and once you do the math, you're good to go, right? That's what the Mishnah sounds like. comes Tosfos and says, we have penalty markers down galore on this Mishnah. From all tzedakim, from all directions, says Tosfos. I'll tell you why, says Tosfos. Says Tosfos, we're beginning in the middle of the story. We're starting to read this Mishnah as if history is beginning. I have a Yerech, I have a Gid. How did I get this Yerech to my table? Well, what must I have done beforehand? I must have shech. If I didn't shech it, so then it's pretty silly, right? Obviously, if I didn't shech, I have an avail here. So the whole Yerech is also. So I must have shechted it already, okay? Since tells us, what else must I have done before the Shaila is even beginning? I must have kasher. What does that mean to kasher? I never heard that. What does that mean to kasher? It means I must have removed all the what? All the dam, because the Torah says in this week's parashah, and now the dam. So there's no question that any meat that's being served on this table has to have had the dam removed. Okay, that's like a given. That's never partial. The sugyas later on, the eighth parashah, just like the ABCs of Judaism. Okay, so you have to kasher meat. Otherwise, I can't eat anything. It's all dam. Right, the whole, that's a very, very good question, but it's not going to help me here. I'm talking about everything. The Yerech is kosher here.
Just in general.
Right? Exactly. It's a machlokes haTorah. But the Yerech here is kosher. I want to eat the meat, so obviously I'm talking about kosher meat. So again, so Tosu says, obviously a shechit took place, and obviously a melicha took place. That's like the ABCs of course over here. If a melicha didn't take place, and now you're cooking up a Yerech that wasn't koshered, so what do you have in front of you? A pot full of what? Pot full of blood. Obviously you can't eat it. So that's like, give it. So he says, wait a second. Oh, so he says, wait. Not so simple. So they said, before this Yerech and this Gid, when it's Bashel, they must have been kashered. What? How do you kasher something? Anyone know? What process do you use to kasher something? You salt it. Right? That's the Gemara a little bit later on, okay? So you put a lot of salt on. How much salt? No, not sure. I kashered something only one time in my life, and I thought it needed a little bit more salt than it actually did. It was horrible. But you have to salt it, whatever the shear, the amount of salt is. Okay? So clearly this Yerech at one time was kashered, which means it was nimlech, it was salted together. What am I getting at, says Tosfos? Who saw Tosfos kasher? Tosfos driving at something. What are they driving at? Anyone know? Before the Bishul started, you already had a problem of Hilchos Tarovis. What was the problem of Hilchos Tarovis? There's a Gemara later on that tells us, when you take a Dover HaMutter and a Dover HaOser and you salt them together, that in and of itself emits a what? What does that cause a problem of? There is a what? What's the magic word? Of Nesin Tam. Again, the Rai said, we're not sure. There's already a Nesin Tam. Just the mere salting something already creates a tam. Why in the world does salting create a tam? After all, we should have said this, but we'll say it now. Generally speaking, when we speak about Nesinas Tam, Nesinas Tam is synonymous with what physical phenomena? What physical? What has to be present in order for tam to be emitted, to change? Usually there's not, I won't use the word cooking, use the word heat. Right, heat is usually an absolute prerequisite for any changing of any time. The Gemara has a klal later on called tzonin b'tzonin b'hadocha. If I have a cold piece of chazer and a cold piece of kosher chicken and they touch each other, just wash them off and finish. So the nesinas tam only takes place when there's some kind of a heat source. So why in the world does salting pose a problem? The Gemara says b'feirish that when you salt kosher and non-kosher meat together, you have a big, big problem on your hands. You have a nesinas tam. So the Gemara introduces another klal, which is by a reis sugya, called what? You know what this cloud is called? Maliach Kiroseach. Principle again, we have a lot of work to do, and every one of these klolim is a 2-3 shiur in and of itself, but we have a cloud called Maliach Kiroseach. That anytime you have a lot of salting taking place, the sech is boiling, it's as if there was a bishul that took place, and therefore there was a bishul that took place, or a sicha, the boiling that took place, so you now have an isinus tam. So what is Tosfos driving at, everybody say? What question are they now presenting? Tosfos says, good morning to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah wakes up, Baruch Abu, here I am. You have this housewife who's in the middle of cooking the Yerech with the Gidon Osher. And now she realizes, Rabbi, I have a problem. What do I do? We stop and we say to her, what do? You had a problem an hour ago. What was your problem an hour ago? somebody must have done malicha on this meat. If they didn't do malicha on this meat, then it shouldn't be in the kitchen in the first place. So obviously somebody did malicha on this meat. By doing malicha on this meat, you already had a taroves. You had an isra and a mutter that came together. How did the tam spread? The answer is it spread through maliach. How does maliach spread tam? It spread through the principle called maliach kiriseach. So you already spread tam the first time around. So the Ifat Tosa says, now the Mishnah is very difficult. What's the problem? What is bothering Tosa exactly? Because shkach. So we discovered that a malich took place an hour ago. Whoop de doo. Azma.
Why aren't we just looking into that?
Because nobody has the shayla. So now the person has the shayla. Yachsh is bashmi. Really shkach. So there was a malich done. Whoop de doo. So therefore, what's bothering Tosa? Tosfos discovers America. Tosfos gets all riled up. Tosfos gevalt geschwigen. Oh yeah, yeah. Tosfos says, terrible, right? Terrible thing happened. Mishosh and umlach nesek nekhluah. What's else talking about? So the answer is, what Tosfos tells us is as follows: when you first did that malicha an hour ago, between kosher and non-kosher, between gida nosha and yerech, and we plunged in the rule called maliach kiraseach. We're going to come to this cloud a little down the line, very, very soon down the line, that whenever something gets a beliah, it's absorption, a transferring of taste, derech maliach kiroseach, the entire food doesn't become treif. There's a limit to just how far taste can travel. Taste can travel from one end of the universe to another. Taste can go distance X. It happens to be, or at least Tosfos claims it happens to be, which is highly questionable, but we're going to hold on to Tosfos for a minute, that whenever you have a maliach kiraseach, there is a transferring of taste, but the transferring of taste only goes a certain distance, and here, get ready for another cloud called what? Kedei what? Kedei klipa. What does klipa mean? It has nothing to do with those kinds of stuff. Nothing to do with what you see after Sefiras HaOyim. Nothing to do with Rav Nachman of Brest. Nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with... it's the smallest peel, literally like if you peel off a piece of the food, so it's the smallest piece of layer of the food, that's called the Kedei Klipa. So Tosfos claims, which again we're going to see is a highly controversial claim, that whenever you have something that becomes treif through Maliach Kiraseach, it only became treif up until the point of Kedei Klipa. Okay, and therefore what? Now what's bothering Tosfos? So Tosfos is good, wonderful. So an hour ago, if we would have asked a shy, we would have taken a clip. Good, wonderful. What's Tosfos' kasha? Oh, Tosfos is questioning the math of the Mishnah. The Mishnah in describing, how do you cheshbon, how do you reckon, what's the davar mutter, what's the davar aser? So we thought, this is the davar mutter, the entire gid is the davar mutter, and this is the davar aser. So our math was, aser was how much? Three ounces, right? That's what we thought, volume of 3 ounces. And the mutter was out, a big, big fat yid. What do we think it was? We thought, oh, Baruch Hashem, 100 and what? We'll make it even, you know, room to breathe, okay? 185 ounces. We are so happy. We brought it to the scientists in the chem lab. They did a termod experiment at the 3 o'clock. Everyone's gewaldig. Wow, Baruch Hashem, yotzat double hat. We passed everything is mutter. Gewaldig mutter. We're serving it for dinner tonight in the calf, okay? Because we have, it's mutter, right? We have 3 ounces of isser, 185 ounces of heter. Who's the math major? What is it? So, what does Meth Khan say about this? What have you done? What? Mutter? It's mutter, still mutter. It's mutter last year, it's mutter this year. Good, okay. So, with Baruch Hashem, we're good to go, okay? So, it's about the Mashishim, everything's good to go, right? Frek Taisa Kasho, wrong. Totally wrong. And Baruch Hashem for the multicolored markers here. Why are we totally wrong, says Taisa? Because when you salted this meat an hour ago, what happened? Remember, where was this Gid Anosha? Where was it? It was some side, somewhere in here. And it spread, how much? It spread, based on the principle of Likra, say, how much did the tam, that we all doesn't exist, but the tam of Gidon Noshia, how far did that tam spread? It spread Kedei Klipa. By spreading Kedei Klipa, it now took up, I don't want to make it too, you know, stark, but we got a Klipa around here, whatever that is, okay? We got a Klipa. Wait a second. We no longer have 3 ounces of isser. What do we have? What do we have now? I don't know. Give me another number. 5 ounces of isser, right? Because now we have to add on to the 3 ounces of the original gid, the 2 ounces or so of the klipas, that were originally became treif. So now you have 3 ounces of original gid plus 2 ounces of yerech shenesar bitchila, and now we get a grand total of what?
5.
Good. Okay, 5 ounces. Okay, now don't pull out your cell phones, but a ratio of 185 to 5, what's the number? Oh my goodness gracious, we are less than, let's make the carrot, sideways carrot, so which way is it going? Where is he? There you go, okay. Alright, so this is less than Shishim, more than Shishim, depending on which direction you're going from. Bottom line is, it's trace. So trace is the kasha in the Mishnah. That's Taisa's Kasha in the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah misrepresent the numbers? The Mishnah's fudging the numbers. The Mishnah's playing games with us. The Mishnah's saying, oh yeah, no problem. Yeah, for this in time. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, yeah. Spoke of Bashisha, everything hunky dory, Givaldi. What do you mean hunky dory? Not so hunky dory. Why? Because, first of all, look how many assumptions Taisa's make to ask this Kasha. First of all, you must have salted the meat, right? That's like a given, because otherwise you're eating blood. Number two, salting the meat was created a problem of Malia Kirasech. Because they already learned ahead. They jumped the gun. They learned Tafiyam Reh. They know that 3 lot later, there's a din called Malik Rosech. And they already know that Malik Rosech asks, they Klipa, how do they know that? They made it up. Other Rishonim say it's not true. But okay, we'll give it to Tosfos now, all right? So, and Tosfos is saying, and guess what? So now, once you had an Asik de Klipa, you added 2 ounces of the original Yerach, added a total of Sacha Kol of 5, and now you're short and you're Bittul B'Shishim. That's Tosfos Kasha. So, whereas we thought that the Mishnah was very medayik in its lashon, that you mishai the gid against the yerech and the yerech against the gid, and that's all there is right no more. So he's saying not true, because the malik yerasech, you have to now reckon in, you have to take into account that initial tareves of the added 2 ounces, and those added 2 ounces are going to put you over the limit. That's Tosfos kasha. How come the Mishnah doesn't reference those first 2 ounces? That is Tosfos question. Everyone here read the Mishnah? Okay, before you read the Tosfos, is this the first thing that you thought of? If you read the Tosfos, did anyone have any idea what Tosfos was asking? Not a clue. That is what Tosfos was asking, okay? So the guys that I saw finished the Maamar Kovos in like 20 minutes, all proud of themselves. Good guys, go back to Maamar Kovos tomorrow, okay? This is Tosfos Kasha. Rabbi say, what fundamental premise is Tosfos assuming in their Kasha? This is so Yesodistic. This is like Reb Chaim now. This has nothing to do with pots and pans and numbers and games. This is a very Yesodistic question.
Throwing your nose in, Tom, to that extra 2 ounces, you're making the entire entity.
Okay. Well, you just said it's Chatech Nas Leib Shai Shurim, right?
Sure.
That's right. Okay, good. Rabbi Sai, here we go. Now your day begins. Now Sam Perchul really begins. This is all just a little bit intro. What Taisa is referring to in this half-baked kasha, little half a line, mamash, it could have snuck right by you, this kasha. What they're referring to is a fundamental yesod, how you say this, everything we're going to talk about this entire year. Have a tarotis, and a little bit of issa falls into a big tub of heter. And unfortunately, I have to say it's also. You know why? I did the math, I added it up, well, I got the greater taste, and just, guess what? Tastes a little chazrish to me. Right? Sorry, you only got 1 to 40, not 1 to 60, so we have to declare that it's usur. Okay? So here I had a big tub of kosher food, okay? A little bit of, change the note a little bit, a little bit of treifas fell in, okay? We had to give a psak, usur. And there is no question that I cannot eat this pot of food. No shabbat, right? I cannot eat any part of this pot of food, because by doing so, I'm going to be eating tam. Now again, according to some Rishonim, that's in the derayis of tam kiko, learned that from Sukkim. You may, according to many Rishonim, you have malchus for that. According to other Rishonim, it may be also mid derayis without malchus for some technicality. According to other Rishonim, maybe it's only also mid derabonon, but that 8 sheet is also in what I just said. But the bottom line is you can't eat it. There's no question, halach l'maisa, if you're a Torah observant Jew, you cannot eat this pot of food. Alright? Where's my first hakir of the year? Who's going to tell me the first hakir? What is the nature of this din? I can't eat this food. Let's try.
in the whole paros, or you don't answer the suffix.
Oh, well, okay. Leaving out the word suffix, you're pretty good. Okay? So, I can understand this in one of two ways. All right? I can understand. You know why I can't eat any part of this pot? I can't take a piece of chunt out of here. I can't take a potato. You know why? Because licked in any part of this pot, I am going to be tasting some chazir or some gidanosh, according to those that gidanosh gives off time. So I can't eat any part of this food because by doing so, I'm going to be eating traces. However, does that mean that the potato that's in this pot is treif? What's the answer? I mean, I can't eat it, but is it a chefze machalos asuris? Is the potato really asur? What's the answer, by say? No. Potato's not asur. What's wrong with the potato? Potato's not on the list. It's not chaz. It's not chev. It's not the potato cannot be eaten because it happens to have a little bit of chazer in it. So by eating the potato, I will by default, by definition, be eating some chazer. But is the potato itself a dover asur? What's the answer? No. I can't eat the potato, but it's not a dover asur. It's not a chefze finisur. Or should I say no? Should I say some razzle-dazzle part? What's the razzle-dazzle part? Once the halacha kicks in and says, Neisen Tam is asur. Once the halacha says, hey, you don't have shishim here, you have Tam in this kedeh, you have Tam in this pot, you know what we're going to say now? Once there's Tam of treifus in this food, that Tam of treifus transforms what, Rabbi say? The chefza, it used to be a kosher piece of food, and now it's a treif, a piece of food. The potato itself is asur. And that terminology, does the potato itself become asur? Is what's the lumdish lingo for that? That's what's called what? Chaticha nases nevela. Does the piece of food, piece of meat, whatever the case may be, does the kosher entity, does the kosher item, the chaticha nases nevela, does it itself become like a shtik nevela? Does it itself become transformed? Does it now acquire properties of treifas? For all dini atarim, we'll see what the ramifications of that statement are. But we say, no, it might be dumb. Ein chaticha nasas nevela. Chaticha doesn't become a nevela. You can't eat the chaticha because by doing so, you can by definition be eating some nevela, but the chaticha itself is not nasa nevela. So that is what's called in halacha, either yeh chaticha nasas nevela, or nish chaticha nasas nevela. Nasas nevela, it is usually, very often, just to save some time, called chanan. Okay? Or shetevas chanan, chaticha nasas nevela. So basically what Tosis is alluding to in this loaded question that took them about 1.5 lines to ask, what was Tosis assuming in this question? When Tosis asked the question, hey, wait a second, you started off with the get a nosh of 3 ounces, and once it trafed up, derech, what? Let's chazer through, walk through, guys. Everyone, guys, you're allowed to talk with the wincher, as long as it's in you know. So let's walk us through Tosis again. You started off with 3 ounces worth of get a nosh, and Tosis hiked you up to 5 ounces. How did they hike you up to 5 ounces? By saying, well, you did a malicha, and we all know malicha keresech, and that was a belia, and that was in a sinas tam, and didn't that add on 2 ounces of het there, and now you have to reckon with 5 ounces. Stop. What do I have to reckon with 5 ounces? How many ounces of isser are in this pot? Depends on what? Depends what you think about chaticha nasas nevela or not. If you subscribe to the principle of chaticha nasas nevela, then Tosis' math is correct. You have 3 ounces of the original gidanosha plus 2 ounces of the new isser, because chaticha nasas nevela has just kicked in, and now you have 5 ounces of isser, and now you have to reckon with 5 ounces of isser. If you hold that ain't chaticha nasas nevela, there's no such thing called chaticha. It doesn't exist. Tosis made it up. So then, the dover ulcer is 3 ounces. It was 3 ounces. It is 3 ounces. It will always be 3 ounces. And therefore, when I reckon later on, when I actually cook this yerach v'gira nosha, I don't have to add on an imaginary 2 more ounces. That's meaningless. I'm stuck with the original 3 ounces. If I have 185 ounces to 3 ounces, that bit with shishim, everything's good to go. So the Chora Tosis in their question was assuming a tremendous, tremendous point, namely that Cain chaticha nasas nevela. Yes, we have a problem, and therefore they're going to pose their question. Everyone appreciate this question of Tosis? So again, right, who here saw this kasha when you first read the Tosis? Everyone appreciate that this was all going into Tosis' kasha.
Even if we behave chaticha nasas nevela, what happens to the 185 ounce mutton steak? Meaning, if 2 ounces were to now become contaminated with the taste, does that take away 2 ounces from that as well?
You want to know if I turn around and use that leheter also? Whoa. That's already like 10 figures ahead. Okay, can I take a duffer also and turn it and work it for me? Okay, I'm gonna have to hold back on that. It's a very, very loaded question. So Rabbi Sai, what's the answer to this question? As you can hopefully already begin to sense, this question goes way beyond, you know, a guy cooking to get a nosh in a pot that was once salted. This is like the ABCs of your day. What is the chiddush of nosh in tam? Is nosh in tam, does that mean chatich nastaveil? Does it not mean chitas nastaveil? What is going on? What is the answer to that question? So where's a good place to look for the answer to this question? Any question? Where's a good place to look for the answer to that question? Gemara is always a good place, okay? So we should probably look around for where the Gemara uses these terms. Okay? Anyone know where to look? I think I put it on the memory canvas, no?
Yeah.
Okay, anyone free? I was going on Kufchas? Right? Got down pat? Okay, good. All right. So let's take a little bit of a casual look at Kufchas. I say casual because Kufchas is going to come up about 1,000 times probably in the next couple of months, all right? But this is our first introduction to Kufchas. So actually in the Kufchas, the Mishnah of Kufchas, of Tipas Cholov, the Mishnah is talking about Bosa B'Cholov. That's the topic. It's in Perek Olabosa, the 8th Perek, which is talking about primarily about Bosa B'Cholov. And the Mishnah is comparing and contrasting two different scenarios in Huchas Bosa B'Cholov. One scenario in Huchas Bosa B'Cholov is that I have a little bit of milk that falls into a tremendous, tremendous pot of meat. Okay? And what question do I want to ask myself? It's a little bit different than everything we've been talking about. Everything we've been talking about now is talking about I have a davra osur and a davra mutter, and I'm trying to figure out if the davra osur botel b'shishim or not. Here, it's a little bit tricky. Why is Bas B'chov a little bit different? Because they're both mutter. The chol is mutter and the bas is mutter. What's the problem? The problem is if they mix together and they clash together, they pose a problem. Unless there's no what? Unless there's no nosin tam. Unless there's such an insignificant amount of one of the ingredients that we just ignore it. So the same numbers we've been using, the same goyim we're going to be asking to taste, the same numbers, magic numbers of bitul shishim, are now going to play out in the sugyas that call a bosar the same way they did in Perek Yinon Nosha. So it's a little bit of a different nuance of a case, because it's two dvar mamutarim, but the same basic calculations are going to be present. So the Mishnah is discussing a tipas chol shenof the kedeir shel bosar. So you have a drop of meat, a drop of milk falls into a big, big pot of meat. So it's pretty straightforward, right? A drop of milk falls into a huge drop. Guy's cooking a tremendous chilling pot. And a little bit of milk falls in. So what do? Come on, it's very easy. You calculate what? How much milk fell in, and how much meat was in there, how much other things were in the pot. If it's both machines, you're good to go, right? Very, very simple. Not so simple. Then the Mishnah makes things a little bit more complicated. The Mishnah says, what if you had the following. Erase this pot. We grow a similar kind of a pot. Okay. I got a pot. I got meat in here. I got pieces of meat in here. All kind of stuff in here. I got potatoes in here. I got carrots in here. You can all tell the difference, right? Okay, I got a lot of other stuff in here. And what do I have? What I got? A little bit of milk is about to, A little bit of milk's about to drop in. All right? The problem is, before the milk falls directly into the pot with everything in it, which would really be pretty good because that little drop of milk looks pretty small, looks like it's going to be both of a shishim, what happens first? Disaster strikes. What happens? Is it what? There's a piece of meat that happens not even to be in the pot. It's kind of like sitting on top. Now, I don't want to get into exactly where this piece of meat is, how it's being suspended in mid-air. I don't want to talk about that yet. We'll wait till tomorrow. But I have a piece of meat. We'll put it over here, okay? Let's say it's sitting on top of a big fat piece of potato, all right? Piece of meat sitting over here, and the milk hits into this piece of meat. Why is that the absolute worst thing that could happen in your kitchen? Your wife is going to have, mama, she's going to, it's like she saw a mouse. What is a disaster? Can't get worse than that. Why? Because what? Because remember, when you reckon the taravis, you have to cheshbon what? How much also do you have and how much mutter do you have? what can qualify as the mutter? Only something that's in the what? In the tarovis, right? Let's say a little bit of milk falls into a big, it's a small pot of meat, but I have more meat in the refrigerator. What does that have to do with anything, right? So only things that are part of the tarovis will calculate towards the dittel b'shisha. Here, when I have a piece of meat that's outside of the pot, so for all practical purposes, this is like so much fun, we get using all the colors today, it's basically its own world. Okay, I got a mechitza here, almost. So it's its own world. So now, rather than cheshbening whether I have shishim in this pot against a drop of milk, what do I have to cheshbin now, by say? Whether I have shishim in the piece of meat, that's all I can do, right? I can't do better than that. And we bring in our big experts, okay, bring in our tasters, we bring in our goyim to taste the meat, or we bring in our chemists to measure the volume, and we come up, oh my goodness, what? Just shy of shishim. No big deal. What do I do? What? So what I should do at that point is what? Throw it out, right? What does the guy do? He panics. Panic that kills you all the time. What does he panic? What does he panic? What does he do? He says, oy, 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 I got to get more things into the tarovis right away, right? So he takes the piece of meat, throws it up. He's near a sakadera. The worst of the worst. And now what happens? What just happened? Tell me what just happened. So that's what Rav tells us, Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Okay. So comes Rav, and Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, and tells us that Amar Rav, Kevin Shinasin Tam B'Chaticha. Once we paskind that the first Chaticha had Tam in it, it didn't have Shishim, Chaticha Atzba Nasis Tevela. Sounds like Chanan, right? So that piece itself now became Nevela. What does that mean? Tell me what that means. That means, how much is usher now in this piece of meat? Not just the what is usher. Not just a teeny weeny drop of milk that was just a tiny amount. But now this entire piece of meat just permeated the usher. This whole piece became usher. And now what happened? The guy threw this piece of meat into here. What happens now? A complete disaster just kicked in. You know why? Because Rav says the following. What does that mean? Rav says, once those two things happen, those two steps just happen. Namely, number one is, step number one, nafla, atipa, lechaticha, she'ein, bashishim, levatla. That happens first. And then number two, then, near esakadeira, which basically means he mixed the pot and now everything gets mixed in together. What's the result of those two things? What do you have to do now, says Rav? The entire pot has to get discarded. Even if the entire pot is what? Is 5 trillion times the amount of what? Of the challah, or even if it's 5 trillion times the amount of what? Of the original meat. Why is that? What's the problem? Very good. Very nice. Thank you so much. The whole piece of meat got usher. So let's view this as a piece of nevela that fell into the pot and let that piece of meat be bottled by what? Shishim. What did Rav just tell me? It's not going to fly anymore. You know why? Oh, yeah. A new cloud. Okay? Sugya number 13 or something, right? Called Min Bimino Eino Batel. Is there a din of bitl b'shishim? Is there a parshas tarovis in the Torah? When do we say things can be mevatel one another? When they're different from one another? If you have a little bit of meat being mevatel and a piece of a little bit of milk, when you have a little bit of chela fall into a potato soup or something, a little bit of treifas falling into a carrot, that's going to be subject to bitl. Min b'mino trumps everything. Min b'mino eino batel. Remember that cloud. You say this. Amud ha-chochmas. That we don't want, we happen not to paskin like, but don't tell anybody, okay? But Rav paskin that way. And Rav is of the opinion that min b'mino ain't a botel, and therefore in the worldview of Rav, once these two things happen, nafla tipa l'chatichas ein bashishin levatla, followed by niya sakadera, the result is garbage. Min b'mino ain't a botel, no matter how much is going to be in that pot, what's going to be able to be botlet? all the basar, basar, basar. This basar can't be vata, that basar. If it's carrot soup, maybe. If it's potato soup, maybe. But if it's meat, if there's meat, you want to use the meat to be vata, forget it, says Rav. We follow Rabbi Yehuda, says Rav. Min bimino eno bato. That was Rav's contribution on Daf Kuf Ches and Aleph. Rabbi Yisrael, I already spilled the beans before, but we don't pass like Rav. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We don't pass like bimino eno bato. You know what the Ravid said? The Ravid said, well, we don't paskin like Rav. We don't paskin like Rav Yehuda. We don't paskin Limbino or Bostel. You know what else we don't paskin like? You know what else we don't paskin like? Come on, tell me. It doesn't mean anything for us. We it's a meaningless statement. The whole thing doesn't exist. There's no such thing called Chtir Nazlela. Zero, zippo, doesn't exist. And the Rambam, and just about every other Rishon, including the Shulchan Aruch and the way we do Paskin, say, that is not correct. That is going way too far. That's overkill. What do I mean by that? True, we don't Paskin, min b'mino in a botel. And true, we're not going to make totally kibli under all circumstances throw out the pot. But what will we make you do? What will we make you do? The first piece of meat became usur, and now it got mixed into the pot. What will we make you do now? We don't pass kimimino in a bottle. That's true. What will we do? What will halacha look like according to us? Shishim against what? Against the piece of meat. Not against the what? Not against the milk. We can't be mishah shishim against the milk anymore, because once the first tarovis took place, once we trafed up the meat, chatichan asvela kicked in, and therefore we view the entire piece of meat as being a chetzah shel iser. Once it's a chetzah shel iser, you need shishim keneged the entire chetzah shel iser. Now, Rabbi Yehuda and Rav went even further by saying, shishim's not even going to help you, because mimbimim in a bottle, that far we're not going to go. The Rabbi went that far, we're not going to go that far. We're going to say, you're right, it's not so easy to mevatel it, we can do it, it's just the numbers are significantly higher than they were. So if this nincompoop wouldn't have done what he did, if he would have just let the milk fall, let's say, directly into the pot initially without the two-step tarayves, if it would be a one-shot deal, then how much meat would you need to be involved with the milk? Shishim keneged the what? Keneged the milk. That would have been a cinch. They weren't going to have done that. It's only because it's happened in two stages that now you need shishim keneged the entire first piece. And yes, Rubid the Rishonim, and we accept la'alacha. Yes, we do accept chatichan asas tadewa. Absolutely, chatichan asavela does exist, and therefore, whenever you have two-step tarivism, you have to first be down on that. Just how much damage happened in the first tarivism, and then you have to reassess and recheshbin in the second tarivism. That is the principle of chatichan asavela. Now, after seeing Daf Kuf Ches, can we now appreciate Tosfos Kasha even a little bit more? What did Tosfos see on Daf Tzadi Vav? Tosfos saw on Daf Tzadi Vav a replica on Daf Kuf Ches. Even though at face value they have nothing to do with each other. One's a Gita Nosha, one's a Tipis Cholov. One is a Yerach Shen Nimloch Begid, one is a piece of milk falling on top of a Kadeva. What is the common denominator between the two Sugyas? There's only one piece of information that links the two Sugyas. They are so radically different, Tzadi Vav and Kuf Ches. But what's the one thing they have in common? They are both examples of two-stage Tarevism, right? They are both examples of two tarovism, one happening after another. On Daf Tzadi Vav, what's step number one? What's the first tarovis? When did the first tarovis take place in Daf Tzadi Vav? At what stage? At the stage of Malicha, correct? Okay? How much damage was done at the stage of Malicha? Remember, it's Chazer? Only they clip it, but that's enough. That may be the 2 ounces going to throw you over the top, right? So, tarovis number one on Daf Tzadi Vav was the Malicha. What's Tarovus number two on Daf Tzadi Vav? The Bishul, okay? What's Tarovus number one on Daf Kuf Ches? When the Tipa hits the what? The Chaticha that's above the pot, right? What was the damage done? The entire Chaticha, right? What's Tarovus number two? When you minai, when you mix that Chaticha into the bottom. So Tosfos is looking at Daf Kuf Ches as their model, and they're saying it's identical. Identical. It's identical. It's a double tarovis And Daf Kuf Chesam and Aleph, the Gemara invokes the principle whenever you have a double Torah, it's a Chatichin Asnas Neveila. If so, Abba Zoy, that there's Chatichin Asnas Neveila, Daf Kuf Ches, it should plug in on Daf Tzad Yivav. And we have a kasha. Why does the Mishnah mislead us by saying, oh yeah, I just reckon the Gid Keneged the Yerech and call it a day? No, says Taisus, wrong. You can't just reckon the Gid Keneged the Yerech, because what happened to the extra 2 ounces that became Osir in the first Taroivus? After all, Chatichin Asnas Neveila. That is Taisus kasha. Okay, can everyone saw the kasha? Right? Everyone appreciate this kasha? Okay, Rabbi Say, what's wrong with the kasha? Now we all appreciate what's wrong with the kasha. Okay. I just spent 10 minutes trying to convince you. We got a mess here. Okay? I drew an equation. Alright? I equated Daf Tzad Yivav on the base equals Daf Kuf Ches on the Aleph. Even though this is Gid Hanoshe, this is Osu B'Cholos. The original Tarovus here happened what? Derech Malicha. Here it happened Nofla Al Chaticha. Okay? Derech Bishol, right? Maybe. Okay? So there are a lot of differences, but the common denominator carried today. Tzad Yivav equals Daf Kuf Ches. And therefore, if Chatichin Asnas Neveila applies here, it applies here as well. Again, Rabbi Yehuda's Chatichin Asnas Neveila is not going to interest us because we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav, that part doesn't excite us, but the extrapolation from Rabbi Yehuda for us is important, and so it's extrapolated. Rabbi Say, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're learning Bavakama, Sukkah, Erevin, Yavamas, Vamitsiyo, Achulin. It's all the same, you know, thought process. When we equate things in Halacha, we have to be very, very wary. Very, very, very careful. Because, as we all know, very often things have certain characteristics that are similar and certain that are different. And it's very important in life to be able to identify which characteristics are important and which are not important. You know, is an apple the same as an orange? Well, it depends what vantage. But if you want to know if they have the same color, the answer is no. You want to know, are they both fruits? The answer is yes. But they say, are these two sugyas the same or not? If you want to know, were the bliyas? Yeah. Was it two tarovsim? Yeah. But there's something really, really different between the two. What is the most important difference between the two? Both B'chalav and Gid Hanoshe are really, really different. And I already kind of said under my breath before, what is so remarkably different about both B'chalav than all other Yisroel, almost all other Yisroel in the Torah? Both B'chalav, there's nothing wrong with eating meat and there's nothing wrong with drinking milk. The problem is when the two combine together. By Gid Hanoshe, Gid Hanoshe intrinsically is a problem. Chaylev, Nevelev, Trev, those are intrinsic problems. Why should that or should that not make a difference? So came along one of the great Balei HaTosfos, Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim said, and again, hopefully we're going to talk about this Rabbeinu Ephraim. By the end of the year, you tell me how many times we called this Rabbeinu Ephraim. 500,000 times. Came along Rabbeinu Ephraim, he heard it the first time here, and said, this idea of Chatichin Asnas Neveila between you and me doesn't make the slightest bit of sense. It's a joke. It's a joke. Is this? You know, I present this chakira because I said the word cheftz a few times. I say, you know, threw in a Yiddish phrase and I move my hands around so I convince everyone I knew what I was talking about, right? What did I tell you? I said that a little bit of chazer, etistaka, falls into a pot of food. And the whole thing becomes a davar asur, right? So somebody should stop me and say, Rabbi, what are you joking? What sonus is that? It's a carrot. It's not chalev. It's a piece of meat. It's not a Gid Hanoshe. What are you kidding? Who are you joking? That the davar hamutu became a davar asur? Like mecha teise. What does Chatichin Asnas Neveila mean, such a Ben Ephraim? Notice that in all of Shas, Chazal only say Chatichin Asnas Neveila, at least in this context, in one place and one place only. Where is that? Chulun Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, in the context of Bas B'Cholov. says the Ben Ephraim, in Basa B'cholov, Chatichlas Devel makes a lot of sense. I'll tell you why. Because when you have a mixture of Basa B'cholov, what's the Yisr? Identify the Yisr, identify the Heter. You can't do that, because they're both from a Mutarim. What is the Yisr? What shops the Yisr? What creates the Yisr? The mixture that the Tarevis creates the Yisr. And therefore, when you have a Tarevis and Basa B'chol, that's not Basa B'shishim, because you have Tom of both now, so then the whole thing becomes Nepach Liyasa Davar Asur. That is the Kiddush HaTayr of Basa B'chol of Zuchter Ben Afayim. That idea of Chetichadas Nevela is unique to Basa B'chol, but it has zero relevance outside of Basa B'chol. When you're dealing with Gid Anosh, Echel of Nevela, Strevis, etc., why would you say such a foolish thing that now the carrot becomes a shtick nevela? Like, why? I can't eat the carrot because I have nevela inside the carrot. The Dover also is Omer B'fnei Atzmai. The Dover Mut is Omer B'fnei Atzmai. It happens to be that Nebuch, any time I want to take a bite of carrot, I'm going to be tasting nevela, therefore I can eat the carrot. But why in a million years would you dream that the carrot became a shtick nevela? The whole institution of Chetichadas Nevela, such a man of family, Svara, only makes any sense in Basa B'cholov, which is exactly where it appears, in Afkav Ches. And therefore, to push it back into Gid Anoshe is meaningless. And this is the source of Rabbeinu Ephraim's famous Yisoid, Chetichadas Nevela B'shar Isurim Lo Amrinan. There is no such thing. And therefore, when you have double Tarevisim outside of Basa B'cholov, what numbers do you use? What numbers do you use? The original what? The original volume of what? Of the initial Davar Asur. Going back to Agid Anosha. What was that? What were the numbers before? It was 3 to 185, and that was good. We added 2, says Rabbeinu Ephraim. You don't know how to do math, says Rabbeinu Ephraim. There is no 2. 2 makes sense, but Basa B'chol doesn't make any sense. Beshari Surim. And Taisus, in a half a line, alludes to this Rabbeinu Ephraim. Now we can read the Taisus. Spend an hour and a half, we can read the Taisus. Taisus says, oy, we can't just reckon with the Gid itself, because the klipa shesviva of Mesayel the Gid lesser, the Mishash and Imlach Nasik, they klipa samachlon. That was the whole first hour of Shia about Halich Kereseach to Tarevisim, right? Chlichnas Nehel, the whole 9 yards. But, Zok Taisus, the famous Rabbeinu Ephraim, Shemifarish to lay amrinon chatich asin asin avail elabas b'cholav osi shatir. But according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, who holds that chatich asin does make sense out of bas b'cholav, everything is hunky dory. Now the Mishnah reads like a charm. You don't have to add on the extra 2%. You just have to reckon the original iser. So Rabbeinu Ephraim solved the world's problems. Of course, hopefully everyone has already realized, Rabbeinu Ephraim is not the only person to weigh in on this topic. Who was the Baal Plukta of Rabbeinu Ephraim in this? Who was the Baal Plukta? Do we know? Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? So hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said it's not true. Chetichadas Nevela is true by Shari Surim. So we have a lot of work to do tomorrow, because number one, we have to understand in Lomdos conceptually, what is the Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim all about? Rabbeinu Ephraim was very convincing, very compelling. Why would anybody disagree? And Al Hatzad, that Rabbeinu Tam is really going to disagree with Rabbeinu Ephraim, which he does. So how does he address the problem, the Mishnah that Tosfos is raising? So we have a whole array of questions to try to iron out tomorrow, but we barely started. I mean, we mamish got like the tip of the Tarevis over here, but at least it took us an hour and 15 minutes to appreciate a one line in Taisus of what Taisus Kasha was, why Rabbeinu Ephraim would have solved the problem, but tomorrow the trouble's going to start again because Rabbeinu Tam denied Rabbeinu Ephraim. We have a lot of work to do with him tomorrow, okay? Good. Well done, Mr. Bishop.